Thank you. I'm going to start, and I apologize, I'm going to try to talk fast, because we have a lot to share with you, and we really don't want to run out of time or go over. I want to clarify the program notes a little bit. I hope you didn't come just to see Peoples of the Soviet Union, because although Sam has a print in his hotel room, that title didn't make the final cut for today's screening, and here's our plan. I'm starting off with an overview of some major aspects of Brian's work, ending with a brief look at some VHS footage as it has been offered to researchers by, at the time, Archive Films, now Getty Images. It's Russ Sunnywick who's going to show us Japan, among the countries featured in the excellent restoration work he and his colleagues at Color Lab have done. And Regina Longo, who during her 6 years as our film archivist shepherded our acquisition of Brian material and oversaw the preservation work, will show us Brian's most famous film, Siege, of Germany's attack on Warsaw in 1939. In the last half hour, I'm screening a selection of silent 35mm material from the 1930s in the Soviet Union, Poland, and Nazi Germany, and I'll provide commentary with that, including some of Brian's original film lecture narration. Lindsay Harris, my colleague in the museum's Spielberg Archive, has created this PowerPoint for us, and I want to thank her very much for her work and support. And I'd like to switch to the PowerPoint now, please. Julian Brian, 1899 to 1974. I don't assume that everyone here today knows of Julian Brian, the man, and of his work in documentary films, or his renowned film lectures of the 30s and 40s in particular. Many of you, of course, know the work and educational films of the International Film Foundation, founded by Julian in 1945 and long sustained and guided by his confused son and our good friend, filmmaker, historian, and educator, Sam Brian. I hope you figure it out sometime, Sam. I so welcome this chance to join all of my colleagues here in sharing with you a reminder of the immense scope, the depth, the quality, and the rarity of Julian Brian's motion pictures, and to give you a quick look at some historical papers in our museum's Brian collection that document his extraordinary stature and reputation. It's a film legacy that is too little known and too little used. Some of it still needs rescuing and preserving. All of it needs more exposure because we need the richness of its content. Certainly the films of Julian Brian, Sam Brian, and the IFF are part of the educational film genre. But in trying to convey something of Julian Brian the man, it's hard to find a singular word to describe his occupation. Documentarian, which I frequently use, really upsets the computer spell check every time. Cinematographer is insufficient. When you know his work well and also consider the wealth of still photographs he captured parallel to the motion pictures, you begin to see him as an artist of imagery. And beyond that, a journalist with a cameraman with a mission, a missionary of world peace and understanding, whose curiosity to travel the world was aroused when, as a boy, he listened. Oh, I am so dry, I have to drink some water in the middle of the sentence. When he listened to tales of missionaries invited to the Brian home after church on Sundays in Titusville, Pennsylvania. The title, as for me, I Believe in People, are Brian's own words when interviewed by Edward R. Murrow for his radio series, This I Believe. All the films we'll see today underline that theme. My unannounced subtitle is Bring Me Back the World, and harkens back to William Wyler's 1939 production of Wuthering Heights, and apparently was considered as an alternative title for the film, which Wyler thought was crazy. And it is Kathy urging Heathcliff, quote, "Go on, Heathcliff, run away, bring me back the world." End quote. I don't know that Julian was running from anything. He seems to have been a gypsy at heart. But those words, bring me back the world, convey powerfully what Julian Bryan has done for me personally, and I suspect for thousands and thousands of others. In my many years of documentary filmmaking in what is now called public history, I have turned again and again to Julian Bryan's images of vanished worlds as they were when he explored them with his cameras. Regrettably, I see many current television programs and documentaries that would have been much stronger and more compelling if they had known of the Bryan materials and used them. Magic. This photograph is a really iconic image and is very much attached to, I suppose, what brought Julian Bryan the greatest fame in some, certainly in some circles and absolutely in Poland. This is a young girl whose sister was killed by German planes strafing civilians digging potatoes in a field on the outskirts of Warsaw. And Bryan is forever linked to Poland, and the people of Poland really considered him an honorary citizen. All right, Okay, thank you. I'm going to let you read some of these things. I'll just mention a few of the words. Ace cameraman and reporter, one of the most sought-after speakers. A resourceful and brilliant exponent of the documentary motion picture. This is from 1940, a type of film that has gained enormous popularity in the last few years. Mr. Bryan, whose pictures are well known through the March of Time, Life, and the Rhodic Reviewer sections, has always endeavored to bring out more sympathetic understanding between peoples through documentary film. Julian Bryan, this is Mrs. reporting on Mrs. Roosevelt writing in her column. Julian Bryan has just shown these pictures at the White House. I don't think anyone can see these pictures and fail to be impressed with what happens to any individual when we indulge in this madness called war. Personality parade and an editorial in the Joplin, Missouri paper when he was bringing his lecture. And in Joplin, the editors write, the most poignant reminder of the ruthlessness of modern warfare to come out of the present struggle in Europe is a photograph of a little Polish girl who has just discovered the body of her sister lying where she was shot to death by raiding German airmen. We'll soon be seeing the film these clippings relate to. Remarkably recorded almost accidentally when Bryan wound up in Poland. Was it playing games here? It's dancing. Well, it's just supposed to give you an impression. This is the New Yorker review of the film Siege. I was very excited to find this. And you can see how impressed the reviewer was with it. Julian had an astonishingly good nose for history in the making, along with a willingness to take enormous risks and bear extreme discomfort, bringing 35-millimeter film and camera equipment into very difficult terrain and hazardous circumstances. Many times, he was assisted by colleagues who filmed with him and college students who carried the equipment and film, about which you'll hear a little more later. Let's see what's next. This is his press release, which he obviously needed because he really lectured all over the country. Hundreds were turned away. He probably didn't lecture at 9 o'clock in the morning. And to continue what I was saying, one way or another, he filmed ordinary people in extraordinary times. And he seemed to know in advance of history what peoples were vulnerable and therefore all the more precious. And he used film to preserve them. Now we need to act to preserve those precious films. This is where he started, Titusville, Pennsylvania. I thought it was, you know, it also ties in with our industrial theme. I didn't know it was the place of the first oil derrick in the United States and the home of the natural gas industry. And one of its most famous sons was Julian Bryan. And this is in the northeast corner of Pennsylvania, as you can, the northwest corner. And it was a long way from there to the International Film Foundation. This is the 84-85 catalog. Thank you. And from here on, you're going to just sort of get a quick glimpse. Here is a group of the students who traveled with him 1 year. He started going to the Soviet Union 29 or 30 with Maurice Hindus and started filming from 1930 on. And he would take along, they would go as tourists on tourist visas. And the Ivy League students were a great cover. And they were also a very good source of free labor. This group happens to include David Reisman, who some of you who are old enough to have read The Lonely Crowd, he's right in the middle in the back row. And they're from Vassar and Harvard and Princeton, which was Julian's alma mater. And that was really characteristic of every summer Bryan spent going back to Russia, to the Soviet Union, and I wish I could tell you, I wish we had more film. I'm going to talk to you some more when I'm running the film about that experience, but he did extraordinary filming of tribal regions in the Caucasus, in Siberia, in Birobidzhan, the Jewish designated territory, and many extraordinary subjects. I didn't press hard enough. Your checklist of Julian Bryan Productions. This obviously a later document. Wonderful Afghanistan coverage. And typically, Bryan would capture the work, the play, the home culture, and always approaching the people with a very warm and close connection to them. I'm excited about this. I still want to explore whatever he did in Argentina and Brazil, actually during the war years, when he was still hoping to get to some of the German communities that had migrated by then. His lectures on Nazi Germany after he filmed there in 1937, in part for the March of Time, were very dramatic and popular and interesting. Another Bryan scoop. There's a whole tale to the March of Time story of Inside Nazi Germany, which came out in 1938 as the first single subject newsreel issue of all, and caused huge controversy because it was anti-Nazi. Among the most precious things, and part of what we have in our exhibition at the museum, these are still photographs to represent the footage of a Jewish school in Berlin, the Goldschmidt School, a very special place. By this time, Jewish students, of course, were excluded from German public schools. And this was a remarkable, advanced, excellent school in Grünwald. And quite a number of these students have survived, so that we have actually been able to talk to a few and learn more about them. And he filmed here in the fall of 37. It is the most optimistic, wonderful, ebullient group of students you can imagine. And part of what they were doing then, which was characteristic of the Jewish, German Jewish community's response to the persecution, was learning Hebrew and preparing to, there was a lot of interest in going to Palestine. This girl showed up in the museum and presented herself to us and said, "My name is Margot Blank," and we spent a couple of hours with her, and then I said, "Are you sure that's you? Because your profile is different." And she said, "I had my nose done." The only film I know of anti-Jewish signs were from Julian Bryan. This one is "Citizens, Please Protect Our Public Spaces, Keep Your Dogs on a Leash, and the Yellow Benches Are for Jews, According to the Reich's Law." The Jewish Daily Forward had coverage of his lectures on Nazi Germany. And I just wanted you to get a glimpse of his personality here. He actually had lots of nicely typed notes and with edge code numbers and very helpful information. But these are some of the more personal ones. Oh, well, I guess a lot of them. I got to hurry now. These are the notes on Poland. They were at John Allen's for a long time, and clearly this is part of his working through footage he shot in 36, 37, then in 39, then in 46 to 48, and putting it together. I wish I could tell you more, but. And when he died in 1974, obituaries in the Polish newspapers as well. And I think this is a tribute of great import. This is the cover of the book he did when on siege. And now I'm just going to quickly show you a glimpse of VHS footage, if we can switch to that. And this is material that an abominable reference copy offered, as I said, by what was film Archive Films and now Getty Images, where much of the Bryan footage is currently housed. And they, of course, provide words at the beginning that alert people to the degraded source and that it might be better when you order it. But would you order it? How would you even know what was in it? And this, now we're in the Jewish quarter of Krakow in 1936. Incredibly rare pictures and wonderfully captured, very natural and close. And later you're going to see exactly the same images on 35 millimeter after Russ Sunnywick has worked his magic. And I'm happy to say that although it's not well taken care of by Getty, it's quite different with the Bryan Collection at the Library of Congress, where they have a great deal of Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union and that material. So, and that's on negative. And speaking of negative, here, original negative film, here's Russ to tell you about the rescue work in progress, including work on materials at the Holocaust Museum. Russ.